I am not ashamed of the gospel, and the word gospel means good news, and this message is good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus. And this message alone is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, shalom to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience. This first day after Easter Sunday. Yesterday also happened to be the holiday of first fruits, a little known Jewish holiday that's part of Passover, which is actually a prophecy of the Messiah's resurrection. So today I want to focus and reinforce the truth of the resurrection of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. And the teaching I'm about to bring you is from a message I heard some 30 years ago by a man named David Fettes, and I'm using it with the permission of the Back to God Hour of the Christian Reformed Church in North America. If you've ever asked yourself whether Christianity is something you should take seriously, it's necessary to answer the question, did Jesus actually rise from the dead? If Yeshua is alive, you would be a fool not to believe in him. But if he's dead, you would be a fool to believe in him. There's no in-between. It's all or nothing. You see, Christians and Messianic Jews believe that the glorious Son of God, through whom the universe was made, became a human being. He was born into a wonderful and very special Jewish family that was part of Israel's royal line. We believe that when the Messiah became an adult, Yeshua was rejected by the majority of the Jewish people. He was tortured, executed, and buried. But we also believe that his dead body was raised back to life by God's almighty power, the resurrection. We believe that at this very moment, Yeshua is physically present in heaven in his glorified, resurrected body, and that he will return one day to planet Earth, physically and visibly, and he will resurrect the bodies of everyone who have become loyal to him and to his Father and to the Holy Spirit. This is what Christians and Messianic Jews believe, and it all depends on whether or not Yeshua's resurrection actually took place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 covers the resurrection. And in verses 14 through 19, Rabbi Paul writes this: if Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain, which means empty, worthless, meaningless. Moreover, we are false witnesses about God because we testified that God raised Messiah. If Messiah has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Messiah, died believing in Yeshua, have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah, in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 19. Well, let's consider several really important things here. The first is that if Messiah has not been raised, then the foundation of Christianity is destroyed. If Messiah has not been raised, then the preaching of the apostles, the Messiah's emissaries and representatives, is meaningless and useless, and our faith in their teachings is meaningless and empty. If the resurrection didn't happen, if Yeshua is dead and his body has decayed and he's not alive now, then the New Testament is a lie. Its claims are not true for you or me or for anyone else. If Yeshua never came back to life, you can have all the feelings and opinions you want about him and the New Testament, but they won't change the fact that Yeshua is dead and that your faith is worthless. Also, the Lord's representatives, the apostles, would be false witnesses because they testified that God raised Yeshua, Jesus, from the dead. And if that didn't happen and the apostles are false witnesses, then the New Testament is a web of lies and it just must be rejected. If Yeshua has not been raised from the dead, then the one we call the author of our faith was either a liar or a lunatic. After all, he claimed to be the Messiah and the Son of God and the only Savior of mankind. He claimed to be equal to God in nature, the Son of God. He claimed that he would die to atone for the sins of the world, and then he would be raised back to life by the power of God, vindicating him and proving that his claims were true. If Yeshua did not overcome death, he was wrong, and he wasn't the Messiah, and he's not worth listening to. However, if Yeshua is alive right now, then he is exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of the world. And his handpicked representatives, the apostles, who testified to his resurrection are truthful and accurate and inspired. And their writings, the New Testament, is rock solid and reliable. It's all or it's nothing, and it all depends on Messiah's resurrection. Paul makes another very important point in this section. If Messiah has not been raised, you are still in your sins. The Bible teaches that only by means of Yeshua's death and resurrection is final atonement possible. If Jesus is alive, then knowing who he is and transferring your loyalties to him is the only way to experience forgiveness. But if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then his death could not atone for anyone. And we are still dead in our trespasses and sins, not reconciled to God and headed to hell. It's all or it's nothing. And it all depends on the resurrection. Paul makes another important related point. If Messiah has not been raised, then Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles are pathetic fools who have no future and no hope. He writes, those who have fallen asleep in Messiah, which means those who have died believing in Jesus, they have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah, and it's not true, we are of all men most to be pitied. We believe that we will overcome death and live forever because Messiah overcame death and makes it possible for us to live forever. But if Messiah didn't rise, we won't rise. If that's so, argues Rabbi Paul, Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians are the most pathetic fools around. We are wasting our lives on a useless belief system. On the other hand, if Yeshua has been raised up, then death is not the end. Those who have gone to their graves faithful to the three in one God will be raised to everlasting life. So either we are the most pitiful or the most blessed people on earth. It's all or it's nothing. And it all depends on the resurrection. The rabbi from Tarsus makes another very important related point when he teaches us that without the resurrection, life has no ultimate meaning. So we might as well maximize our pleasure and minimize our pain. He writes, if from human motives I fought with wild animals at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no life after death, then there's no final meaning to life. If death is the end, then there's no day of judgment, and God will not punish you for your sins or reward you for your righteousness. If there's nothing beyond death, then it's stupid to be a hero, and it's smart to be a hedonist. If death is all there is, you might as well live by seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. If the dead are not raised, then the saints are stupid, and those who devote their lives to having fun are the smart ones. But if Messiah Jesus has been resurrected, then death is not the end. And it means that each of us will stand before the Lord on the day of judgment. And loyalty to the three-in-one God will be rewarded, and disloyalty will be punished. Selfishness will be punished, and sacrifice will be rewarded. Hedonism will turn out to be stupid, and heroism will turn out to be smart. So, when you think about the ultimate meaning of life, you should either live it up and do whatever you want and have as much fun and pleasure as you can, or you should devote your life to following the three-in-one God, even if it means making great sacrifices. It's all or it's nothing, and it all depends on the resurrection. Well, once we understand that everything is at stake, that it's all or nothing, and it all depends on the resurrection, the next thing to do is find out whether Yeshua's resurrection actually happened. Did he really rise from the dead? Is this Jewish carpenter turned rabbi alive right now? Did God give us any solid evidence so that we can know that Yeshua's resurrection is true and something we can build our lives on? And the answer is most definitely yes. Evidence for the resurrection comes to us in several ways. First of all, it comes from the prophecies in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures. In verses 3-4, Paul writes, Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Raised on the third day according to the scriptures. There are scriptures that talk about him being resurrected. Some of these prophecies are found in such places as Zechariah chapter 12. In this prophetic passage about the future, Israel will be miraculously saved from destruction by the united armies of the nations of the world. And then after we are saved, we look upon the one we have pierced, recognizing that the one we pierced is somehow alive and involved in our salvation. Well, that involves the resurrection. Psalm 16, God's Holy One, who comes from David, the Messiah, will not undergo decay. Psalm 22, Messiah dies a death that can only be by crucifixion, and yet later in Psalm 22, he is once again alive. Psalm 118, verse 22, describes the leaders of Israel who will reject the stone. That's the Messiah. But God overrules their bad decision and makes this stone that was rejected into the cornerstone, a new foundation for everything that God will build throughout eternity. Perhaps the clearest prophecy about Messiah's resurrection is found in Isaiah chapter 53. Messiah is rejected, he dies, is buried, and yet comes back to life and is vindicated and greatly rewarded. These ancient prophecies are powerful evidence that Yeshua is indeed the risen Messiah. Still, if prophecy had been the only evidence, it's unlikely that any of the early messianic Jews would have come to believe in the resurrection. John, who wrote the book of John, he tells us that what first convinced him wasn't the prophecies about the Messiah's resurrection that were in the scriptures. It was the empty tomb. John went into Yeshua's tomb, and he saw with his own eyes that Yeshua's body was gone. He saw the linen wrappings and the face cloth that had been wrapped around Yeshua's head and the linen wrappings that had been wrapped around his body, but the body of Yeshua was nowhere to be found. The empty tomb was enough to convince John that Yeshua had been resurrected. He was convinced. He tells us that he believed. But most of the other apostles were convinced only by an actual encounter with the risen Messiah. In verses 5-8, Paul mentions these encounters as more evidence for believing in Yeshua's resurrection. Rabbi Paul writes this: Jesus appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom remain alive until now, but some have died. Then he appeared to Yaakov, James, that would be the half-brother of the Lord, then to all the apostles, the Messiah's representatives, and last of all, as if it were to one untimely born, Messiah appeared also to me. According to the New Testament, this eyewitness testimony, the risen Messiah appeared on various occasions to various people in various circumstances. And these weren't just mysterious visions or apparitions. The resurrected Yeshua actually spoke with his followers and ate bread with them and ate some fish with them. He even allowed Thomas, the most skeptical of his disciples, to touch his wounds. When Yeshua appeared to some women, they fell before him and held onto his feet. He was in a real body. On one occasion, he appeared to a group of 500 at one time, and everyone saw and heard him at the same time. There was no way they could be dreaming or hallucinating together at the same time, not a group of 500. If you were called to jury duty and you were part of a jury and you had the eyewitness testimony of, let's say, one reliable witness who testified that he saw a certain man at a certain time doing certain specific things, would you believe that testimony? You probably would. What if there were two or three reliable eyewitnesses who all said the same thing, that they saw a certain man at a certain time doing specific things? Would you believe the two or the three? Yes, you would. The New Testament records that there were hundreds of reliable eyewitnesses who all said they saw Yeshua alive after he died. And those people were willing to die themselves rather than change their story. Shouldn't we believe them? Of course we should. Rabbi Paul mentions a final kind of evidence for the resurrection, and that is the change that Yeshua makes in people's lives. In verses 9 through 10, Paul points to himself as a prime example of a transformed life. He writes, "I am the least of the Lord's apostles, the Lord's emissaries and representatives. I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted God's community. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me did not prove empty." Yeshua didn't just appear to the rabbi from Tarsus. He transformed this former adversary into one of the greatest spiritual forces for Messiah that the world has ever seen. And Paul wasn't the only one Yeshua transformed. Peter had denied the Lord, but after the resurrection, he became a courageous and bold leader and teacher. Yeshua's half-brother, Yaakov, James, along with the rest of his brothers, they had once thought that their brother Yeshua was out of his mind. They didn't believe in him. But when Yeshua appeared to his brothers after his resurrection, they became completely different people. Yeshua transforms people when they understand who he is and then transfer their loyalties to the three in one God. When they understand that Jesus is the Messiah They become loyal to him. They have faith in him. They become faithful to him and to his Father and to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And they are transformed. And that's been true for 2,000 years. It was true 2,000 years ago when we talk about Paul and Peter and James and the brothers of the Lord. And it's also true today. There have been millions of Jews and Gentiles over the past 2,000 years who have encountered the risen Messiah by faith, by understanding who he is, and they have become new men and new women. So when all the evidence is put together, the amazing prophecies from the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures about the resurrection of the Messiah, the empty tomb, the hundreds of rational people who insisted that they saw Jesus alive, risen from the dead, and the millions throughout history whose lives have been transformed, it only makes sense to conclude, along with Rabbi Paul in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, that Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died, the first human being to be resurrected to overcome the real and ruinous forces of Satan, sin, and death. And it only makes sense to become a Messianic Jew or a kosher-hearted Gentile. If you're not a born-again Christian today, if you are not a Messianic Jew today, I am begging you to become one. Ask God, who's real, to show you whether or not Jesus is the Messiah. And if Jesus is alive now, pray to God. Just talk to him and say, God, show me whether or not Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world. Reveal to me if he's alive now. And I want to encourage you to begin reading the New Testament. Get a modern translation of the New Testament, like the New International Version, and simply, thoughtfully begin reading the New Testament and investigate these wonderful messianic prophecies. Find these prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures that talk about the Messiah. And talk to others who have encountered the risen Messiah, someone like me or Rabbi Glenn. We would be happy to talk to you, and you will find out if Jesus is the risen Messiah. And if you are a genuine Christian or Messianic Jew already, rejoice that Messiah has come. Messiah has died, Messiah has been raised from the dead, and because he has, you will be raised from the dead too one day. And out of your joy at this knowledge about the resurrected Lord and your future resurrection, out of your joy and out of your gratitude, won't you make a commitment to serve this living God who has saved you? And won't you dedicate yourself to bring this message about the resurrected Messiah to those who don't know him yet? This is their greatest need, to understand that Messiah has come, Messiah has died, Messiah has risen from the dead. Well, this is Rabbi Loren, coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Again, we are still in the middle of Passover. Those of us who are celebrating Passover, it will go for an entire week. So we're eating unleavened bread, the matzah still. And tomorrow I want to come back and talk about Passover and our Passover lamb, but the spiritual significance of Messiah's death, what it means for us, and then the holiday of matzah or unleavened bread, which we're still celebrating, and how it talks about our need to be pure and holy and overcome this sin nature that all humanity has been born with, and how that's possible. So I hope that you'll come back and join me tomorrow for another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.